So what do we have learned so far is we're trying to quantize Dirac theory. And we'll just write down the Lagrangian. Okay, I keep emphasizing that you don't need to remember much. But since I've been talking about this Lagrangian for 5 lectures, so please remember Dirac Lagrange. Okay, if you mess up with the sign, I think that's a convention. But the I is important, the gamma is important, partial, the rest is fine. The only thing I don't care much about is that sign. Okay, so what we have done so far is basically to motivate. We spend a long time motivate this Lagrangian and spend a long time to try to show that this Lagrangian is defined to define a spin 1/2 spinner that is a fermion. And then we just move to quantization and says that we propose motivated by y, which means I have to write here too, and the delta rs, which is the spin label. Okay, from now on, I'll follow some other references, call this spin label polarizations. It's just a name. It's like followed from the photon theory. It's the reason I'll do that is because I've been hiding these spinner indices for a long time. But from this lecture onward, sometimes it's good to keep them around. So that's the only reason I do that. So these are called the polarization. There's spin label. And that's the anti-commutation relationship we impose. We argue that we have to impose an anti-commutator relationship. Otherwise, we have the infinite negative energy problem, which is not good. Okay, after that, here comes my favorite part of my last lecture, is how did I manage to spend 5 minutes to do a calculation that it does not need to be done. Okay, by this condition, you can immediately, okay, well, how we argue about the causality is that we only care about if operator that can be observable, they commute or not. And then, because it's a bilinear thing, we emphasize that all the fermion thing that is Lorentz invariant all look like bilinear. Then there's some gamma things in the middle. This is just combination of gamma matrices, has some various choices that we see. That we realize in order to have causality, this basically says, gives us some anti-commutator should vanish. So this requiring the observable commute means that we require some anti-commutator to be zero.
Great. Question?
Yep.
What are the two sets of indices on each of the size?
Which size?
In the anti-commutator second line.
Ah, you are questioning my clarity of right. This is very good. Let me do it again.
No.
There is psi. No, it's important. It's important. The only reason that I only do it for now is because today it become important. Before I was like, oh, they are all dummy indices, they all get summed over, they are fine. But today we're gonna talk about a formula that many of you write in your homework. That's why, and in those, they are no longer summed over, so they become important. I don't know if my choice of color is right, please let me know. That's why from today onward, I'll be careful and keep track of them.
What,
yeah.
So my question, what do they mean? I mean, one is the spin index, and
yes.
The other one is...
A polarization. No, you are right. They don't have polarization. Okay, I'm being sued. Yes, thank you very much. They don't have polarization because the... Okay, you are very right. There's no polarization in those guys because I could just write down the... What's that called? Mode expansion. And they are... Polarization is summed over in Psi. Thank you very much. Okay, let's see. Okay, I'll be try to be smart today by separating them into the creation operator part and the annihilation operator part. So it's just two things added together. I want to separate them so I don't write a huge line and another huge line. And when I do the commutator, I have to use like the interval. Also, you've seen this before in bosonic theory. Okay, so then I should have plus here, and I should have a C S dagger B P P S. Okay, if it's repeated, I still assume they are summed over. And now the index A should be here. Ah, oh, you have too many indexes. So I guess randomly I decide this index A should be spinner index is green color.
Isn't it on the V?
Haha, thank you very much. All right, apparently I'm not functioning. So please catch me. I'll try to talk slower so you have time to catch me. Excellent. So this is the plus guy, and then there is a minus guy. And the minus guy should be the same, but I swap the B. For U. And then this is that. Right? Well, I guess now you know why I refused to keep track of them before, because obviously I can't. Yes.
Do we assume that there's an implicit sum over S?
Yes. Yes, I'm still making that assumption. If you say a pair of things, this is still sum.
Okay. Also, should we have a dagger on one of the sides?
Excellent. I did forget some daggers. No.
In the anti-commutation relation.
Oh, yeah. Where did that go? Thank you. All right. Okay, I don't really want to do this. But I have no choice because later we'll have to use it. So let's write down the barred guy. I'll use a B index for no reason. Just because maybe later it's important. And it depends on X. Huh. To be consistent, I should all write to the Heisenberg algorithm. So this is obvious a four vector, so this is the Heisenberg thing. All right, let's bar this thing. So if I dagger this, this one would become the plus guy. And then I'll just copy the thing I have right now. And then I'll have a U bar. I'll just write the thing, and you guys can tell me if I'm making further mistakes. All right, this guy's as ours. So there's nothing magical I've done. I just dagger it and multiply by gamma zero. And that's what I get. In case I'm missing something up there. Okay. So this is what we have done so far, is we quantize the Dirac equation. We find some Heisenberg picture field operators. We argued the causality is okay. And now, yeah, am I right about the indices? Seems okay. Well, we're going to use it, so eventually the mistake will pop out. As you guys realize doing the homework, you feel like, I have a minus. I was expecting a plus. Oh, the other way around. Okay, let's leave it there. Today, we're going to finally do interactions. Yay! Right, we're so close to our final goal of QFT1. Which is talking about a real interaction that exists in the real world, which is very well tested. Okay, after I go to the public talk, I realize it might be slightly less tested than the pulsar spirits, whatever. So David was right. That is the most precision test before gravitational wave. But this is very close. One of the tests go to 10 to the minus 11, so 11 digits after the zero thing. Okay, so interaction. Our goal is, we have been very theoretical so far. But eventually, as a physicist, I'm sorry for the people who are very into mathematics. But as a physicist, we want to talk to our experimental friends, and they are smashing things together, and we want to ask what they want. So, as you have seen before, what do they want in the collider? Huh? What do they want? What do they want from us? Cross-section. Excellent. See, we're going through Dan's recipe again. So Dan's recipe says we want a cross-section. What's the next step? Don't go too fast. What's the next step? How could we get a cross-section? Huh? Matrix element. We do some phase space integral that, well, I don't care because you have already done. I know you can do it. But we want matrix. Actually, we want matrix element square. This become important because there are a few tricks that I want to show you in the last lecture how to get from matrix element to matrix element square. I have tried to avoid doing too many matrix gamma matrix calculations. But between here, there are some gamma things. Okay, very good. We want a matrix element. Keep going. If we want a matrix, what is a matrix element? Okay, this is a silly question. I'll write down. So this is what we define to be matrix element. Maybe there is a modular momentum conservation, but it's proportional to this. So how do we get this? What's the next step in Dan's recipe?
LSD.
So, okay, it's Monday. So I decide to amuse you. You might not be amused. But when I first thought about LSD reduction formula, I thought what it does is this. So look, this is LSD. And then this is the reduced version. So apparently it doesn't do that. But anyway, so, but L is, okay, it's very good. Along the arrow. Become LSC. But let's expand this LS0. There is also another recipe, like a recipe within recipes. So in this recipe, what did we do? Yeah? But if you just look at this thing, look at this thing, what's the important question to ask about this thing?
What is S?
But that's actually less important than the other thing, I'm sorry. Because that's what we're going to compute. This whole thing is going to tell us what is S. So since we already answered that question,
okay.
So the other two become important at the first step. So what we actually want to ask is, what is this and what is this, right? And then, if you remember from the Bosonic case, then write something like this happens at the infinite past, and this happened in the infinite future. Right? So what's the next obvious thing to do? Now I have two states, and I want to find the inner product of them. Just find it. Just plug in whatever I just wrote down to whatever is above. Yeah? I hope this doesn't surprise you. If it does, please let me know. Because there might be a quicker way to do it. But for me, I'll say I have two definitions, and I have a third definition. Contains the previous two definitions, I can just plug it in. Okay? I just flip this guy and then sandwich it with that guy. Okay. Didn't lose any daggers, good for me. Right? What's the next step? In this recipe.
The identity we proved.
Huh?
Plug in the identity we proved.
Plug in the identity you prove. Oh, you're going. Two steps too far. You are three steps ahead of us. Okay. I'm trying to. Now we're gonna do something cute. It's called say T squared. So T is the time ordering. Is equals T. It says if you're already time order, I can just time order you again because you're already time ordered. Yeah. So this. Trick allows us, apparently I have no idea about the concept of color chalk before, to add a T operator. Nope, doesn't look like good color. Yeah. Fun fact, if you already ordered and you want to do the same ordering again, you can just keep doing it, but nothing is going to happen. Then there is this awesome trick. It's brilliant. It's called if you add the same thing and subtract it away, I'll subtract the same thing and add it back, they're not going to change my result. And then this is called some integral. It's just a integral. As you have all seen, this integral is defined by doing the derivative of things I know and then put it back. I mean, this is brilliant. I mean, when is the last time you face a scenario, you know exactly how this operator or function depends on time at all time. And then you suddenly decided that I'm going to do a derivative and then integrate it back again. It's a brilliant thing to do. And then the next step, of course, now we define the three things. Four things, we'll just get this back in, and where the time ordering comes into play says everything drops out. The only thing we care become just the integrals. And then, now we come back to Sarah's step. Says that we know how to calculate this integral. This integral for bosonic theory. It looks like this. And this front thing, it doesn't quite matter because we're calculating a 2-to-2 scattering. So they are all going to cancel. You should remember it contains a integral. And then it's something will give momentum conservation, or four momentum conservation. And then we get a Klein-Gordon operator because it's a field that satisfies the Klein-Gordon equation. So that's what I mean. In interview, you don't have to remember the formula. You can just write down the word line, not the top line. Of course, I will ask, what's Klein-Gordon operator? You kind of should know that because you spend quite a long time studying. But you know, like details, minus sign, plus sign, who cares? In the interview room, if you're actually doing the calculation, you do care those plus minus signs. Okay, so let me, with the exception of some minus signs that are particularly important in Fermi. And we'll see it in tomorrow's. There's a collection of minus signs we have to be paying attention. Because the fermionic thing, like it's because fermions are different from bosons, some minus pop up. And those are the ones you want to pay attention. If it's the same with the bosonic case, okay, who cares? And okay, now we have integral. Now I can finally write down the LSC reduction formula, if I could find a word that long. But I'll try to write it like this. So the LSC says we have a bunch of Klein-Gordon operator and plane waves over here. So which is the integrals I just write down. So it's a bunch of the things like this. But what's interesting to us is what we get out of this, which is 5, 4, 5, 3, 5, 1 dagger. No, there's no dagger. 5, 2, x. Yeah? I'm not going to write this. This just look like this, except that there are four of them. Then I have to keep track. Which of them are plus, minus, okay? The key point of L is the reduction formula says you're calculating a scattering process, but the idea is as long as you know how to calculate the time-ordered operator's expectation value, you're fine, yeah? And now, where we are, we have LSD, we have time-ordered things. I can keep this order. I don't have to because I could be in general somehow interested in this. So now I have this. Yes, question.
So right now, are we still reviewing the bosonic case?
Yes, okay. We are still reviewing the bosonic case. Yeah. It took you, I don't know, 3 lectures to go through this. So it will take me some time to review. And then we're going to do exactly the same thing again, except we put a spin on it in dance words. So I do want to continue review. But the rest, that is the longest thing to do. The rest becomes simple because Do we know what part of this make us need some smart ways of calculate? It's because this omega thing called the interacting vacuum. Who knows what is interacting vacuum? So then there is a very smart guy called Dyson. Well, Dyson is really smart. Says, oh, I can do it. You can go to the interacting picture, and then that's what you have already done in a bosonic case. And the upshot is if you go to the interaction picture, what you can do is that change the omega, which we have no idea what it is, to this thing. So this is the interacting Lagrangian Leibovitz. Yeah? And then the next step is I have e to the I interaction action. What should I do? Expand. Here, perturbation. Then we realize the only thing I need to figure out how to do is a bunch of things is this thing. As long as I know how to calculate this, no matter how many phis are in the middle, I'm all set. Yeah? So here's another thing is important, is that, so there is another smart guy says that then we call it a weak contraction. Basically, what it says is that we want to calculate. Let's define weak contraction this way. So basically, he wants to calculate the difference between time ordering and normal order. Because he realized, hey, if they are all normal order, I have a vacuum on the right. So everything will just go. Then he did that. And they call them, well, weak contraction. So the, what that bring us to is that some time ordered guys is just equals to the normal ordered guys plus all possible contractions. And then they say, well, we should really do it for the easiest case when I have only two things and they can track to each other, we get the Feynman problem. And this is just stands for a long expression. And this is something you can just go all the way back and find a cross section of. A long story, isn't it? Okay. So, why I want to do this is that at the matrix element, you guys are just directly like jump to this LSD reduction formula, but there is a different rule. It's a simple rule. Is you know, somebody will hand you something called a Feynman rules and they can just sit and start calculating. But I'm a very suspicious person. It's like I order something like a do-it-yourself from IKEA. Supposed to turn into a table, but I follow the instructions and always end up with two nails or something like that. I think Feynman is probably more reputable than IKEA, but I'm suspicious. I really want to know where the rules are coming. So that's why we're doing this. That instead I'll just write a whole board of rules says these are the Feynman rules for fermions, let's calculate. We'll actually try to figure out where the rules are. Also because Dan promised like, oh, Gong will talk about where the fermion external leg, what's more efficient. Yeah, of course. Next time I'll switch spots. So I'll just tell students, they will tell you. But anyway, for various reasons that apparently we're doing this. But the good thing is you guys did the hardest part of the job. You guys did that intergroup. So the left thing for me to do isn't that much. But let's say, let's start from the first step. I want to calculate this. As I said, something after that we'll calculate on Friday, and whatever comes before, you've already known how to do. Okay, where am I? I need some initial states. So let's create some. Okay, we'll use a horribly concise notation. It says this guy is defined to be the operator carrying K1 momentum and the spin, the polarization S1. Also, it has a time dependence. Yeah, it's just like the bosonic case, except the fermion carry polarizing. So now I can just write a B1 dagger. B2 dagger. And the final state look the same, except to change 1, 2, to 3, and 4. Yeah, so far so good. Here's an aside. Is that for fermions, we really have to be paying attention. If I define this, the initial state, we should stick with this definition. If I swap them, I pick up a minus. Yeah, that's called the Fermi-Dirac statistics, which is directly reflected on our anti-commutator relation. And also, if I try to create two states, it's vanished because the anti-commutator relationship, which means that Pauli exclusion principle is good. So in all accounts, we have evidence that the anti-commutator indeed give us a Fermi. Okay, so that's the first step, I'm done. Second step is apparently write down that result. So I was like reading, because all the operators just disappeared because of this time order thing. So I don't care if it's fermion or boson, but there we care because you guys calculated for the fermion, it's something different. So let's write that down. It's omega, I4, I3, I1 dagger, I2 dagger, X and omega. So that's up to that point. I'm the same with the bosonic theory. And the next step is a different step. So as I've seen in the homework, people say what is B, and some people postulate and then check, oh, the answer is what exactly I expect. Excellent, excellent approach. Sometimes it's good if you check if your postulate what is B that is actually work, which just plug in your answers to say that it gives the B. But anyway, I trust all of you have done this calculation. I'll just write down the result. So I1 is B1 at plus infinity minus B1 at minus infinity, which is equals to minus I integral some I's and then some B1 bars. S1, K1, and then our beautiful Dirac operator sits right here. And then that's psi. I think that's what you. Well, then you look at it, you're like, it's probably going to be okay because I have my Dirac operator sits right here before we have a Klein-Gordon operator sits right there. And I have my Dirac field. And where did this term come from? Well, it has to show up because I know this thing, if I look at this side, it has no spinner index. So the spinner index on this psi had better go. It doesn't help. The gamma matrix, you still have a spinner index. So there must be something providing the other spinner index to be summed. And again, it has to be a bar because we realize Dirac conjugate is just something that gives us Lorentz invariants. And then I keep track of this polarization, and the importance is that this thing we're going to plug in this thing does carry the polarization index. Yeah.
Why does the phase only involve three vectors? Like when you have the e to the I k dot x, why is that not?
No. Oh, I'm so sorry. These just says it's position x1.
Oh.
They are not i's. Sorry, that's a dot. That's a 1. That's a 1. And that's. I don't know what that happened. That means my chalk moved randomly. No. That's a good question. Yeah, this four vector dot, this is just saying, aha, this is your question. Thank you very much. This psi is at x1. So it carries momentum k1. Yeah. So now it pays off for me. That you have done the calculation, I can just say this thing is, oh, so there is one more step. Well, some of you guys actually did this step without me asking you, which is nice. Now I'll just carefully taking a dagger of this guy. This dagger is slightly tricky. I get that. I integral. I get some minus sign. And now I have to take the dagger off this expression. Yeah? Okay. It doesn't happen very often, but in this particular case, I'll actually multiply the psi in. I'm just putting this. So let's look at my first term. It gets a minus I cosine mu. This thing dagger. And then, okay, there is a U dagger, gamma zero there. So gamma zero dagger. And then the dagger of U dagger is U. But it does keep. That doesn't. So that's what I get from daggering this thing. Just dagger and then reverse the order. And this guy is somewhat more friendly. I get a psi dagger, gamma zero dagger, you dagger is. So I get, okay, so let's first erase some daggers on the gamma zero because it's itself. And this just gave me back psi bar mu. So that, remember the property of gamma mu staggers, you can just use that and cancel some gamma zero, then this gamma zero is combined with this guy to become bar. And U is still U. Okay, they have some momentum dependence. Some polarization.
There's a gamma mu in the middle of psi bar and U.
No, mu gamma mu.
Oh, there is another U.
Gamma mu.
Gamma mu, yes. Where did my gamma mu go? Oh, it disappeared. Sorry, it literally just disappeared. That's not good. Okay, let's take the minus sign out. And I'll take the u out. Okay, at this moment, I'm so tempted to take the psi bar out. Can I do it? Wait, this is a plus, but can I do it? I'm so tempted because they have a common psi bar. Can I do it? People are shaking heads. No, why not? Huh?
Derivative is acting on the first one.
Sure, but if I pull this all the way here, it's still acting.
There's a gamma mu there.
There's a gamma mu there. Oh, annoying, are you gamma mu? But I'll force do it by pushing the psi bar the other side and use this funny notation. It's just a notation says a derivative should acting on the left. Because if this silly psi bar hiding between the gamma mu and the derivative, it's not very useful for me, right? I want to, it eventually to go to somewhere that everything in the sandwiches between the vacuum state to be a time-ordered field operator. And if I can't pull it out somehow, then I defeat my purpose of doing this. But now I can. With a notion of this funny notation says if I look at the derivative, it has an arrow on it, it just means the derivative acting on the left. Then I can combine everything says that matrix element I'm seeking is just a bunch of operators acting on psi bar. Let me figure out the bars are 1, 2, 4, and 3. And there are a bunch of these guys. So these guys are, again, Dirac operator. So you can check this is indeed a Dirac operator because this is the Dirac equation if you start with the Lagrangian and do it on this, you have two independent fields. If you do it on Poisson, you get the Poisson Dirac equation. If you do it on Poisson bar, you get. Okay, so there is the Dirac equation, Dirac operator here, which I'm acting onto the left. And then the very important part is it carry US1, P1, US2, P2. And on the other side, we have the one you already discovered at the beginning, which is U3, U4, what is it? Bars, of course. There you have U3 bar, U4 bar, and I want to emphasize there is S4 and S3. There are two. Of course, there are the momentum dependence as usual. And then there are some more Dirac operator, which is here, Dirac operator, which will act on the field. And these are Dirac operator acting on the Dirac contour. Okay.
So the Dirac operators on the left act on the right. So they would be like that, but with an arrow to that side.
Yeah, but that's just
an arrow.
Yeah, but hey, like people do it. People do it to look at symmetric.
Yeah, okay.
But then I just add an arrow
okay.
If I need to. If I don't, it's if there's no arrow means it's the ordinary one. But I think I should be like that's a smart thing to do it like right and then left, so that you always keep tracking. But that's basically so the fermionic change of the LSC reduction formula is of course. This integral will look very different. But this one of the differences you would immediately know, even if before your calculation, is you should expect a Dirac operator because free field should still give you zero. And then this part, you can also speculate where it comes from. It really, you need something that it needs to make this thing a Lorentz scalar. And some bar thing. And if you go back to look at this cute things, separated things, and you're like, if I want to extract a B, B always come with U. And I need a U bar just to make the index. So there's something you can speculate that look like this. And then the little trick is that in order to squeeze all the fermion field in between the vacuum, where is my right vacuum? It disappeared. Okay. In order to squeeze everything between the vacuum, I need to define this funny derivative such that I can pull everything out. But the most important lesson is that we have these guys. And I believe in bosonic case, you have one. So instead of one, we have some U's, we have some U-bars. And of course, U's and U-bars is because I'm starting out with a calculation with the B operator, which is particle. So basically what I'm studying here is two fermions scattered to two fermions. And you can, as you can probably imagine, if you study two anti-fermions scattered to the anti-fermions, so probably the only modification will be changing U's to V. Something like that. There might be a minor issue that we'll see tomorrow. Okay, 5 minute break.
No one gets to move. Miro grows up.
I'm not happy.
When you're not done, what?
plus. So I mean, you can write an expression for creation.
All the little boxes with notes.
Yeah.
And
still good.
All the fucking stamps.
Asking class.
I don't believe in that shit.
Is that what you were concerned about? Okay. Once you have that. And then you have to differentiate this onto a body.
Yes, there is. How can this fumble we don't even have
an egg. I put a bar here.
Yes, so they can calculate everything exactly at sometimes.
We can calculate everything exactly, but they will never relate it to your
real. This if you do start with the solution to the triangle. The real world is not 2D.
Yeah.
Because when you dagger you, that's when you get.
But now there is n equals 4 supernova.
That's
my
party.
But that I'm sure that you've heard it a bunch of times.
Hasn't
it
mentioned
it?
I guess statistical matrix.
No, the thing is
that
faces. Faces,
which is.
Really important again. 30 years.
Do you agree with confusion?
Well, I mean, I just blindly accepted it.
Spectrum of energy.
Nobody
did it.
Yeah, there was caveats in the boson case.
And I saw it's also in the
like,
way
you
know
that
what it is.
He related it to a
spin
chain.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm surprised
that
since spin chain is very statistical mechanical, I'm surprised that
for
four.
So why was that okay for boson? You don't think it's okay for boson?
Wasn't, but Dan tried to argue that this result still held even if you had a more general solution.
No, he is actually trying to
even if your solution didn't solve the Clinton equation.
It
still showed this.
You don't. So,
yes.
Do you not?
I
understand.
What the ones and one of the
yeah,
really.
Why we should still get this?
And he was the one.
I just need to go back
and
look at it again.
Just fine. What are you going to call it?
But yeah,
mm-hmm.
This definitely
yeah.
doesn't convince me for this case because.
Anyway, what I'm going to do is realize that.
It just seems like we arbitrarily pick features of the free theory that we're going to assume to carry over.
Are we missing some integrals there?
Yeah.
Oh.
Here? Yeah, like I wasn't really ready on it. I was just saying, grab the whole thing. It's like the boson case. There are two on this side, two on that side. You know how long it takes to write all the words just from Yami?
It's like you have the other formula here instead of this. It's kind of fine. And we need
a real break.
But it's only 5 minutes. Well,
yeah.
I write a super long formula, which I'll make numerous mistakes. So it's not a way.
Why are you here? We are just chilling with each other. come to Friday lecture, we're playing a game.
Yeah, it's called the telestration.
What?
You don't know about the telestration?
No.
Okay, you know telephone?
Yeah.
Yes.
You know Pictionary?
Yeah.
It's an immortal. It's like you're passing out a message by pictures.
Okay.
Now I'm going to advertise on Friday. Already. Because I just had this idea
this weekend. That game is not trying to win. It's like a telephone. You do want the message to be passed on. No, it's just, there's two approach. One approach is I'll write down all the important QED process and write down the correspondence. Thank you. He's just like making this, why don't you give me a shot in that? Yeah, exactly. That's the approach one, right? I don't think you are enjoying that much. Me neither. I might be able to write down matrix element correctly if I really focus. But no, it's pointless. So it's better for you guys. And the thing is that the game is very self-checkable. When you get back your pet, and you're like, I write down electron positron. The last person who guessed my process is a completely different process. So I like that game. Well, we could play that game like for real. And because I'm horrible at drawing and very creative at interpreting.
Playing with me, you would never like a win, but it could be entertaining. Okay.
So, as we see, okay, very good. Two important errors were pointed out. I did do it once and then I did it
again. But anyway, so there are two very important errors was pointed out. First of all, I talk about the time ordering all the time and I forgot it. And then there is also, it's pointed out, this has to be pulled all the way to the end because the partial derivative isn't acting on this guy who contains x dependence. And the reason I can do this because this thing is not a spinner, doesn't carry any sort of a worrisome index. It's really just a number. Just pull it to the end. And then, of course, it was pointed out that where do your integral and whatever go? Well, as I said, that you don't want to watch me to write down the full LSZ reduction formula from fermion on the board. So that's why there are just things says, just remember this very important guys you find. And then there's this important guys we find today. You just put the ones to the right on this side and to the left on this side. I want to point the important part. Okay, there's other important part that I really should emphasize that I forgot. Is that, remember I was like, repeated index is a still sum. And that these things are all Lorentz scalars because their spinner indices are summed over. But now this pushing and pulling make them actually, we should write it out because the next step. Next step that they will be separated because I will say destroy all these operators. I only want to look at the whatever is in the middle. So when we're looking at in the middle, they actually carry spinner index. We were only looking at one particular component of the Psi. Yeah? That's an important thing I want to emphasize, which means continue what we have before. What we want to do, well, now it doesn't matter if I keep four of them because now we realize what we want to do. We want to do is time order a bunch of fermions. And the next step, I'll just say, where did the next? The next step is this step. This step says going to the interacting picture. We realize that we can do this time. this thing, and then we can get rid of the interacting vacuum, instead calculate the normal vacuum, except now we have infinite terms. Yeah? But there's nothing from anomic about it. You can do exactly the same step. It will exactly carry through. If I've given you an interaction term, which I haven't, that it would follow through. So that's the third step. We didn't do anything. We carry on. And the next step says is figure out this time-ordered field product acting on vacuum. And as we can see, eventually the only thing is important, which is nice. I like the physicist thing. And the induction, oh, well, most time it works, is that from our past experience, it seems I only really need two. Yeah? Two seems to be good enough, and that's what we're going to do. So this would be psi at xy, psi. At y, and they have some spinner index. And oh, no. So this is what I wanted. Is that I only want to evaluate the two field vacuum expectation, time order, the two field expected. Yeah?
You have to put the bar one because one has a creator and the other one has an annihilator, right? Because if you
right.
two bars or two unbars, you will get zero.
Exactly.
Okay.
Very good.
Okay.
Exactly. So basically, what I did here is pointing out the fact that the psi. The contraction is just zero. Because no matter time order, normal order, eventually it's something related to the commutator, and the commutator of the psi with themselves, or psi bar with themselves, they are zero. Okay, I just want to be consistent with myself. Is that okay? Okay, so basically we want this thing, and well, there is, first of all, there is one issue. Is time ordering, because whenever you mention this ordering things, remember the normal ordering? But it's not the same for boson and fermion. And now we encounter another ordering issue. You are ordering things, it may not use the same ordering. So remember bosonic case. Bosonic case says, oh, I know how to order stuff. If it's, it will just be this. If x time is bigger than y time, and I'll swap it. If it's the other way around. It's very intuitive. You put the thing that happened to the last on the left. Oh, sorry. Thank you very much. Of course, you don't get a minus sign because it was bosons. So that's why it's intuitive. Thank you. For fermion, well, fermion, as we might have seen now, so psi, I'll just grab a psi and another psi bar, I guess. Let's give them index so I can freely swap them. So for this thing, what we know, because it's a fermion, so they will anti-commute. We have two fermion fields, and if you want to swap them, it should pick up a minus sign. So now I can try to time order it. I can try to time order both sides. Okay, this is a silly way to do it. The only thing I want to do is pick a time order on both sides. Suppose x0 bigger than y0, and suppose we follow the same definition, the intuitive definition says that x is bigger than y, so this guy is fine. And intuitively, the other one is not fine, so I need to swap it. So this is from the bosonic definition. And they were like, huh, this probably is not going to work. How come I have two field multiplied each other and get is equals to minus itself? If this is true, means, well, the two field multiplied together is zero. That certainly can't be true all the time. So the way to fix it is, of course, let's say both fermions are funny. If we want to swap them, we should pick up another minus sign. So let's try. It's good that there's only plus minus sign, so that if I try one fail, then try two is probably. But anyway, so the thing I want to point it out is that when I try to time order fermion, of course I can say if it's already time ordered, then this should be fine because it's already time ordered. Time order, remember, it respects this formula. Says it's already time ordered, then you can, if you order them again, they are still time ordered. But then we want to add this minus sign, says in the case that it's not already time ordered, we should add a crucial minus sign. As you say, if we don't add that minus sign, we run into trouble or contradiction. Okay, so at this point, our expression makes sense. On the other hand, I just want to point it out. The thing we calculate, it has this vacuum expectation value. But the thing we are calculating is a propagator, which is just a number. It has no creation annihilation operator in it. It's like on the right vacuum, you create a particle, but then it's annihilated on the left. In the end, this thing is in, okay, let's say function, not an operator. Which means I can just get rid of the vacuum and just focusing on calculating what's T, this time ordered thing. Yeah, makes sense? Vacuum or not vacuum, doesn't matter if it's not an operator in the middle. Okay, so the next step is, remember what's weak contraction. This interesting contraction symbol is equals to T minus normal ordering. Yeah? So now in order to get to the two-point function, we need to take a look. So now the whatever I wrote down the first word finally pays off. Say, let me write. So let's try to normal order this guy. t, was that a x? Was that b bar y? Let's, of course, assume x zero bigger than y zero so we can do specific calculation. And you must have seen this calculation before for the bosonic case. It just meant we're going to split into the plus guys and the minus guys. This step should be straightforward. I'm plugging in the definition of those things in. The plot. One thing can be split into two. That's all what I'm using. Okay. So remember the definition is the plus guy has the creation operator, this guy has the annihilation operator, which means as long as you are off order plus. You choose this to be plus, you are definitely normal order. If you choose they are both minus, they are also normal order. This is, should be something familiar to you, is that there's only one term you need to do something about, which is this term. This term has annihilation operator first, creation operator follow. That's the only problematic. Yeah? You agree? So I say, it equals some good guys plus this term, which I propose to add an anti-commutator in because then this will be swept. And this guys are good too, right? Good guys. So this is the same trick. I'll add a term and then subtract term. In order to swap. Instead of using commutator, we'll use anti-commutator because that's the major difference between bosonic and the fermion. So now they are all good guys. So it is basically plus the normal ordering the guys plus this guy, which I guess we should have figured it out what it is later. Okay, because it's fermions, we should think about what is this guy. Now it's just y is bigger, the y time is bigger than x time, but we argued fermions, fermion, that they come with minus signs all the time. And this is by definition minus. Which means all this argument, I can continue to do the same thing. I could split them up into parts. And then, so this should equal to good guys and plus a problematic part, which is psi b minus y, psi a x. And this minus sign gets to inherit. Yeah? Are you following me? The only thing happens is that the time ordering introduces a minus sign. And I'm not going to write down the splitting for this guys again. The only thing that is different is this time ordering minus sign, which will be inherited. And as you probably imagine, it will be inherited by the commutator, anti-commutator too. Am I going too fast? But this is basically what you expect to have. In a bosonic case, all the not normal ordered guys, all the good guys become normal order, so they get spread away. The only one you need to normal order will give you a commutator. And the only difference in a fermionic case is that it gets an anti-commutator, and because it's a fermion, it gets a minus. Yeah? Shouldn't it be terribly surprising? So the only thing left to do is to figure out what is this commutator. To pick a minus of the psi. Well, I'm in Canadian Citizens application, so I'm so excited about the hockey stick. But I still can't pass the because I still can't remember the famous guy that plays hockey. Every time Dan asked me, he got me. Every time. Oh, why did I change that one to be B? That's silly. You should like design this chalk to be that I just hold it in my hand and I can use mental power to control the color. So I don't have to run away, running around to find it. Anyway, so we want a minus and a plus. We want to do the anti-commutator of this, right? We have done it before, remember? Remember that like a really stupid calculation I did that eventually turned to be zero? It's exactly this calculation. So I'll just point it to you. This anti-commutator will give you a bunch of things, cancel one of the momentum integral. Even the like a 2 pi, whatever, they all cancel. And this guy, after the momentum integral, will give you the UU bar thing, which I didn't write down yet, but this is another integral will turn into the e to the ip x minus 1, xy, the thing that you are familiar with in the bosonic. Yeah? So you have e to the minus ip x, you have e to the plus ip. Why? Aha. Uh-huh. That does make things a little hard. Okay, so I'm just going to change all the x into y to make it more obvious why I don't need to do this commutator, anti-commutator again, and change p's to be q. So now we can just directly stare at it. No, there's more p's. Right, I never complained this about about this to you guys, but I'm sure my past students all know that I always complain about how insufficient the either English or Greek letters are. If you use Chinese characters to label anything, everything, you'll never be able to repeat them. You will always, you will always got it right. Well, I also try to teach Dan learn Chinese. I said, this is one, two. I'm not lying to him. This is one, this is two, this is three. And he was like, so how do you guys write 10,000? I was like, okay, now let's stare at this thing. Okay, let's stare at this thing. What I'm saying is, I'm just doing an anti-commutator here. What it does is to, I should label them R's and S. What it does is make this have the same polarization sum, make the momentum, you can integrate over one momentum, then we only have P left, and then you can combine this guy's VE to the IPX plus IPY. And then you have the spin sum has to vary about. But I have done that once already, so I'm not gonna do it again. So I'll just write the result here. This spin sum is the other way. Same momentum, same, everything same, but now we carry spinner index. And then the V guys, so this thing's actually carry A and B index. So is this guy. The only change is that it's a minus M. Okay. That's just a spinner identity. You are welcome to verify. You have use expression, and you have a U dagger, you have a gamma zero, just multiply them out, you'll get this. It's about two lines that I don't have. Okay, so I'll just write it down. What's this? So what is this is, I have that thing. Okay, at some point I should switch to the note. E to the IP minus IP X minus Y to integral everything doesn't look right for some reason. And then I can do the other one too. No, apparently it's right. Yeah, it's right. Okay. Yeah. And then I need to do the other one. What's the other one? The other one is minus B minus A plus minus. And the point is, this thing has spinner in the. Okay, so the other one, the only difference, as the argument I said, is that the plus M become minus M, and this become IP. Y minus X instead of X minus. So if I look at this and that, The CC commutator will do the same thing with the Hansoway integral, make the polarization index the same again, and the V thing will give us this, and the last two terms give us. Okay, what are we going to do about it? Well, remember the trick. The trick is to erase P and then replace it by, what can I get a P? I partial X. Because the, all the X dependence is on this exponential thing. So I can do that. And then for this, since x is the minus 1, so I should replace it by a minus I partial, which is good. See minus and all minus. So I can just say minus can get in and change everything into a plus. Yeah. After this trick, these two terms can be united. So what this contraction, weak contraction, is like step function x0, y0, this guy, plus step function y0 minus x0, this guy. And then what I said is that I can pull this out, because they are the same. And the rest of the thing is your bosonic propagate. Oh, I lost mu. Probably lost more mu. Okay, so yeah. We have our Feynman propagator, we have LCC reduction formula. As the first half an hour of argument of reviewing, that means we get everything. The only thing left to do is tomorrow we actually calculate the amplitude with it. And then once we do that, we can finally compare to, and then we can finally stare at the amplitude and extract the Feynman.